decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the Aaron Studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. It's good to have you with us this morning. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast community. I would encourage you to head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com, where you can find all sorts of curated podcasts over there that are doctrinally sound, edifying, entertaining, informative, and several other adjectives that are yet to be determined. But it's good stuff. I encourage you to head on over there. Well, yesterday was Valentine's Day, and I failed to mention that. Now, I had class last evening from GBTS, so as we typically do something easy for dinner on class days, and so yesterday we had to run into Superior and do some stuff, and we swung by the store, and we picked out TV dinners. I selected a TV dinner, Mrs. Squirrel selected a TV dinner, and we came home, and later that evening we ate our TV dinners before my class started. And as we were taking our break in class, I walked out into the kitchen to refill my water, and Mrs. Squirrel told me, "You know, you owe me a night out, right?" And I can't imagine. I mean, I let her pick out her own TV dinner. Isn't that as romantic of a gesture as is needed? I don't know. But she wants a night out, so we'll have a night out sometime soon. Oh, I hope you had a wonderful Valentine's Day and other things. Your Monday was well. You're through your Monday. It's all uphill from here. Your week is heading toward Friday, so you can relax and enjoy and sit back and do your work and know that the weekend's coming. All right, well, Squirrel Chatter is dedicated primarily to the public reading of scriptures, and our scriptures today are Exodus 35 through 37, Psalm 26, and Philippians 4. We are reading through the entire Bible this year in the Legacy Standard Bible, and if you have a Bible, I encourage you to follow along. If you do not have a copy of the Legacy Standard Bible, and you wish to copy along in that translation, you may find that at read.lsbible.org. That's read.lsbible.org, and you can follow along with us as we read through the scriptures. This is week 7 of our read-through, so time is going by. Fun when you start a new read-through, and a lot of people have tried to read through the Bible using various things. So a lot of people have tried to read through the Bible using various reading plans and whatnot, and you tend to get into, you know, week 7, week 8, week 10, and you kind of bog down, and it can get to be kind of a drag as you move through. Persistence is the thing. And if you've been having a hard time persisting in your Bible read-through, then Squirrel Chatter is the perfect place for you to hang out every Monday through Friday as we are reading through the Bible, and you can read through it with us. And so this is a good way to get your Bible reading done. We're using the 5-day reading plan. So I think that's what it's called. Yes, five-day Bible reading plan from 5daybiblereadingplan.com. The link is in the show notes. So you can download your own copy of this. It's free. You can get your copy of the reading schedule, and that'll help you follow along with us. And along with our reading of the scripture, we're also reading some prayers from the Book of Common Prayer, written in 1552 by Archbishop Thomas Cranmer at the very beginning of the English Reformation. So interesting times as the English Reformation was getting going. need some coffee. As the English Reformation was getting going and the English Church was breaking away from the Roman Catholic Church, and some interesting things. I talked all about the early English Reformation when I was Andy Olson's guest on Echo Zoe Radio. And you can find that at ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. You can find Echo Zoe and you can search back. I think it was sometime last fall, September, October, somewhere in there, that we talked about. Could have even been over the summer. I'd have to go back and look. But I talked with Andy about the early English Reformation. And so if you're interested in the history of that, head on over and check out Echo Zoe Radio and find the episode that I was Andy's guest on as we dug into some church history. And he and I are talking about getting together and continuing the story from where we left off, probably actually back up a little bit and talk about Edward, talk more in depth about the reign of Mary Tudor, and then get into Elizabeth and maybe go up through the Civil War. I don't know. We'll have to see. Only have like an hour, and we covered a lot of ground the last time. I don't normally talk that fast, but that's something. That's Echo Zoe Radio, and you can find that at ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. All right, well, let's dig in. We'll begin with our prayers, and then get into our history reading, or our scripture reading, which is history, because we're in Exodus. All right. Our prayer of confession, let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now our prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Exodus Chapter 35. Then Moses assembled all the congregation of the sons of Israel and said to them, These are the things that Yahweh has commanded you to do. 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a holy day, a Sabbath of complete rest to Yahweh. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall not kindle a fire in any of your places of habitation on the Sabbath day. And Moses spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, This is the thing which Yahweh has commanded, saying, Take from among you a contribution to Yahweh. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as a contribution to Yahweh. Gold, silver, and bronze, and blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and porpoise skins, and acacia wood, and oil for lighting, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastpiece. And let everyone wise at heart among you come and make all that Yahweh has commanded, the tabernacle, its tent and its covering, its clasps and its boards, its bars, its pillars and its bases, the ark and its poles, the mercy seat and the curtain of the screen, the table and its poles, and all its utensils, and the bread of the presence, the lampstand also for the light, and its utensils, and its lamps, and the oil for the light, and the altar of incense and its poles, and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense, and the screen for the doorway at the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils, the laver and its stand, the hangings of the court, its pillars and its bases, and the screen for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle and the pegs of the court and their cords, the woven garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his sons to minister as priests. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel went out from Moses' presence, and everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit was willing came and brought the contribution to Yahweh for the work of the tent of meeting and for all its services and for the holy garments. Then all whose hearts were willing, both men and women, came and brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and bracelets, all articles of gold. So did every man who waved it as a wave offering of gold to Yahweh. And every man who had in his possession blue and purple and scarlet material, and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins, dyed red and porpoise skins, brought them. Everyone who could raise up a contribution of silver and bronze brought the contribution to Yahweh. And every man who had in his possession acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the women wise at heart spun with their hands and brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet material and in fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred with wisdom spun the goat's hair. And the rulers brought the onyx stones and the stones for setting for the ephod and for the breastpiece, and the spice and the oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. The sons of Israel, all the men and women whose heart was willing to bring material for all the work which Yahweh had commanded through the hand of Moses to do, brought a freewill offering to Yahweh. Then Yahweh said to the sons of Israel, "See, Yahweh has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in discernment, and in knowledge, and in all craftsmanship to devise designs for working in gold, and in silver, and in bronze, and in the cutting of stones, for settings, and in the carving of wood, so as to do... well in every work of thoughtful design. He also has put in his heart to teach, both he and Oholiab, the son of Ahisamech, of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with wisdom in their heart, to do every work of the engraver and of a designer and of an embroiderer, in blue and in purple and in scarlet material and in fine linen, and of a weaver, as those who do every work and make designs." Chapter 36. Now Bezalel and Oholiab and every person wise at heart, to whom Yahweh has given wisdom and discernment to know how to do all the work of the service of constructing the sanctuary, shall do in accordance with all that Yahweh has commanded. Then Moses called Bezalel and Oholiab and every person wise at heart to whom Yahweh had given wisdom, everyone whose heart stirred him, to come to the work to do it. And they received from Moses the entire contribution which the sons of Israel had brought to do the work in the service of the sanctuary. And they still continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. And all the wise men who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing. And they said to Moses, "The people are bringing much more than enough for the service of the work which Yahweh commanded us to do." So Moses commanded, and a proclamation was passed throughout the camp, saying, "Let no man or woman any longer do the work for the contributions of the sanctuary." Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more. Indeed, the material they had was sufficient and more than enough for all the work to do it. And all those wise at heart among those who were doing the work made the tabernacle with 10 curtains, of fine twisted linen and blue and purple and scarlet material, with cherubim, the work of a skillful designer. Bezalel made them. The length of each curtain was 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. All the curtains had the same measurements. He joined 5 curtains to one another, and the other 5 curtains he joined to one another. He made loops of blue on the edge of the outermost curtain in the first set. He did likewise on the edge of the curtain that was outermost on the second set. He made 50 loops in the one curtain, and he made 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that was in the second set. The loops were opposite each other. He made 50 clasps of gold and joined the curtains to one another with the clasps, so the tabernacle was one unit. Then he made curtains of goat's hair for a tent over the tabernacle. He made 11 curtains in all. The length of each curtain was 30 cubits, and 4 cubits the width of each curtain. The 11 curtains had the same measurements. He joined 5 curtains by themselves and the other 6 curtains by themselves. Moreover, he made 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that was outermost in the first set, and he made 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that was outermost on the second set. He made 50 clasps of bronze to join the tent together so that it would be a unit. He made a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red and a covering of porpoise skins above. Then he made the boards for the tabernacle of acacia wood, standing upright. 10 cubits was the length of each board, and 1.5 cubits the width of each board. There were 2 tenons for each board fitted to one another. Thus he did for all the boards of the tabernacle. And he made the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side, and he made 40 bases of silver under the 20 boards, 2 bases under one board for its 2 tenons, and 2 bases under another board for its 2 tenons. Then for the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, he made 20 boards, and their 40 bases of silver, 2 bases under one board and 2 bases under another board. For the rear of the tabernacle to the west, he made 6 boards, and he made 2 boards for the corners of the tabernacle at the rear, and they were separated beneath, but they were together at their completion at the top, at the first ring. Thus he did with both of them for the 2 corners. And there were 8 boards with their bases of silver, 16 bases, 2 bases under every board. Then he made bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards of one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the tabernacle for the rear side of to the west. And he made the middle bar to pass through in the center of the boards from end to end. He also overlaid the boards with gold and made their rings of gold as holders for the bars and overlaid the bars with gold. Moreover, he made the veil of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. He made it with cherubim, the work of a skillful designer, and he made 4 pillars of acacia wood for it and overlaid them with gold, with their hooks of gold, and he cast 4 bases of silver for them. And he made a screen for the doorway of the tent, of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen, the work of a weaver. And he made its 5 pillars with their hooks, and he overlaid their tops and their bands with gold, but their 5 bases were of bronze. Chapter 37. And Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood. Its length was 2.5 cubits, and its width 1.5 cubits, and its height 1.5 cubits. And he overlaid it with pure gold inside and out, and made a gold molding for it all around. He cast 4 rings of gold for it on its 4 feet, even 2 rings on one side of it and 2 rings on the other side. He made poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. He put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry it. He made a mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. He made 2 cherubim of gold. He made them of hammered work at the 2 ends of the mercy seat, 1 cherub at the one end and 1 cherub at the other end. From 1 piece he made the mercy seat with the cherubim at its 2 ends. The cherubim had their wings spread upward, covering the mercy seat with their wings, with their faces toward each other. The faces of the cherubim were toward the mercy seat. Then he made the table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long and 1 cubit wide and 1.5 cubits high. He overlaid it with pure gold and made a gold molding for it all around. He made a rim for it a hand breadth all around and made a gold molding for its rim all around. He cast 4 gold rings for it and put the rings on the 4 corners that were on its 4 feet. Close to the rim were the rings, the holders for the poles to carry the table. He made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold to carry the table. He made the utensils which were on the table, its dishes and its pans and its offering bowls and its jars, with which to pour out drink offerings of pure gold. Then he made the lampstand of pure gold. He made the lampstand of hammered work, its base and its shaft, its cups, its bulbs, and its flowers were of the same piece. There were 6 branches going out of its sides, three branches of the lampstand from the one side of it, and three branches of the lampstand from the other side of it. Three cups shaped like almond blossoms, a bulb and a flower in one branch, and three cups shaped like almond blossoms, a bulb and its flower on the other branch. So for the six branches coming out of the lampstand. In the lampstand there were four cups shaped like almond blossoms, its bulb and its flowers, and a bulb was under the first pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the second pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the third pair of branches coming out of it. For the six branches coming out of the lampstand, their bulbs and their branches were of one piece with it. The whole of it was a single hammered work of pure gold. He made its seven lamps with its tongs and its trays of pure gold. He made it and all its utensils from a talent of pure gold. Then he made the altar of incense of acacia wood, a cubit long and a cubit wide, square and two cubits high. Its horns were of one piece with it. He overlaid it with pure gold, its top and its sides all around, and its horns. And he made a gold molding for it all around. He made two golden rings for it under its molding, on its two sides, on opposite sides, as holders for the poles with which to carry it. He made the poles of acacia wood, and overlaid them with gold, and he made the holy anointing oil and the pure fragrant incense of spices, the work of a perfumer. Psalm chapter 26. Give justice to me, O Yahweh, for I have walked in my iniquity, walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in Yahweh, I will not waver. Test me, O Yahweh, and try me. Refine my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I do not sit with worthless men, and I will not go with the pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I shall wash my hands in innocence. So I will go around your altar, O Yahweh, in order to proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and to recount all your wondrous deeds. O Yahweh, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground. In the congregations I shall bless Yahweh. Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers, loved and longed for, my joy and my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to think the same way in the Lord. Indeed, I ask you also, genuine companion, help these women who have contended together alongside of me in the gospel, with also Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say rejoice. Let your considerate spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is dignified, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, consider these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now, at last, you have revived thinking about me. Indeed, you were thinking about me before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in abundance. In any and all things, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance in suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to fellowship with me in my affliction. And you yourselves know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church fellowshipped with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the fruit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I have been filled, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will fulfill all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those in Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, excuse me. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance, to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is Montana. Please listen to some personal messages for our brothers and sisters in the resistance behind enemy lines in occupied Canada. The sparrow has lovely plumage. The sparrow has lovely plumage. Francis knows the words to the song. Francis knows the words to the song. The rabbit has left the hedge. The rabbit has left the hedge. The poutine has too much gravy. The poutine has too much gravy. The bumper on the automobile is shiny. The bumper on the automobile is shiny. And now back to our show. That is, of course, an example of how the BBC would communicate with the resistance in France during World War II, before the liberation of France. They would send coded messages like that to the resistance, telling them of things that were going to happen. The resistance in France was informed by these types of code phrases that the D-Day invasion was about to happen, and that they were given instructions to carry out acts of sabotage behind enemy lines prior to and concurrent with the D-Day invasion. So why am I sending coded messages to the resistance in Canada? Yesterday, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau declared a state of emergency, and he declared a state of emergency and activated an Emergency Powers Act that has never been utilized by a prime minister. Reading from The Epoch Times, the Canadian federal government has declared a state of emergency due to the ongoing protests against COVID-19 mandates and restrictions by truckers and their supporters. So this is the Freedom Convoy, as it's called, the truckers' convoy in Canada, is a mass uprising, not just of truckers, but it began with truckers, and they have been using their trucks to blockade border crossings, including the one just north of Shelby, Montana at Coates. Coates is the Canadian side. I think it's Sweetwater or Sweetgrass on our side. I've driven through it many, many times, because I used to drive truck from the U.S. into Canada. And basically what I did was I went back and forth from Great Falls, Montana to Calgary, Alberta, with a few other, a few trips to other places. But I just drove back and forth across the Canadian border a lot for a period of time as a truck driver. And so I know that border crossing well. The truckers were shutting down. They shut down the bridge in Windsor, Ontario. Can't think of the name of the bridge, but it's the biggest border crossing going between Ontario and Michigan, where the vast majority of transportation takes place. But the one here in Montana is actually a fairly busy one. There's also one over in Washington State. There's several other border crossings, but these are the major ones where the commercial traffic, the shipments of goods, go back and forth across the border. Well, the Canadian truckers are trying to put pressure on the Canadian government, the Canadian truckers and their supporters, are trying to put pressure on the Canadian government to lift COVID restrictions. Now, we see COVID restrictions being lifted all across Europe, beginning with Great Britain. Now, Sweden has lifted them. I believe France has said they're going to lift them. So we're seeing the COVID pandemic restrictions be lifted. And, of course, we're seeing that in a lot of states here in the United States where these mandates that have been in place for the last 2 years and are beginning to be lifted and people are being allowed to return to normal lives. Even in California, they're talking about doing that. So I think that was supposed to be lifted today, if I remember correctly, the 15th of February. It marks the day when California's restrictions are supposed to lift. So it's interesting to watch as we see the lifting of these mandates around the world, but they're not being lifted everywhere. There are holdouts, I guess you would say, and Canada is one of them, and Trudeau is adamant that he's not going to give in to the truckers. The fear of losing power is the motivation for a tyrant, and Trudeau is rapidly becoming a tyrant. He wants those powers. He does not want to give them up. He does not like being disobeyed. He thinks that people ought to do what he tells them to do, and even when what he tells them to do is wrong. But he said in a press conference yesterday that the protests aren't peaceful and are harming the economy. Now, this is an economy that has been drastically shut down for the last 2 years during the COVID mandate. I don't know that there is much harm left to do to the economy. And the fact of the matter is that the protesters want to reopen the economy. They want all these restrictions lifted so that the economy can get to going again. Canadians are a polite society. Living near Canada and having traveled extensively in Canada, knowing a lot of Canadian people, it's been joked that the number one phrase you hear in Canada is, "I'm sorry," or "excuse me," because they're an extremely polite society and they are an extremely compliant society. By and large, the Canadians have been obeying the law for 2 years. But it seems like Canada has finally had enough. And so protests are rising everywhere. And Trudeau doesn't like it because all of a sudden the people are trying to resist his draconian, tyrannical decrees. So he invoked the Emergency Act and responsible to these blockades. He said it was the responsible and necessary thing to do. Today, he said, to continue building on these efforts, the federal government is ready to use more tools at its disposal to get the situation fully under control. So what they're doing, and as Deputy Prime Minister Chrystia Freeland announced, that there are a number of measures to reduce funding to the protesters. They are broadening anti-money laundering measures to the crowdfunding platforms and to digital currencies like Bitcoin. And banks will be able to freeze the accounts of entities involved in the protests. So here's what they're doing. The people are protesting against the government and government overreach. And in response, the government is seizing their assets. Now, right now, they're being frozen, meaning that the people, that technically they still belong to them, but the people are not able to access their funds. And they're trying to stop it, make it possible or make it impossible for people to donate funds to help these people. In Ottawa, they actually started arresting people for bringing food and gasoline, or food and fuel, mostly structured diesel, food and fuel to the protesters. They made that illegal, and people are being arrested. Now, I say they made that illegal. Understand, the Canadian Parliament and the government of Ottawa did not pass a law making it illegal. This is by executive fiat. This is the ruling elite, those in power in the executive branch, declaring that to be illegal and arresting people for doing it. So it is illegal in Ottawa to give a sandwich to a truck driver who's involved in the protest. And you will be arrested. It's also illegal in Canada, in Ottawa anyway, to honk your horn as you drive past a protest in support of the protesters. And there's a video that went viral last week of Canadian police arresting a 5-foot-nothing 80-year-old man, manhandling him like he was Osama bin Laden, caught in the act for honking in support of the protesters. And you wonder why they're protesting. The Deputy Prime Minister also said that companies whose trucks are used in the blockade, their corporate accounts will be frozen and their insurance will be suspended. So this is tyranny north of the border of the United States. Trudeau is the first prime minister to invoke this Emergencies Act. In 1988, this Emergencies Act that's in place now replaced the War Measures Act. Trudeau's father, Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, used that in 1970 during a crisis when Quebec separatists kidnapped and killed a Quebec cabinet minister. That's a different situation. These people are not terrorists. No property is being damaged. Nobody's been kidnapped. Nobody's been killed. They're simply trying to disrupt life in Canada until they get their grievances are addressed. Four of the premiers of the Canadian provinces, the province of Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Quebec, have all stated they don't support the Prime Minister's use of this act. So this is really raising some issues up in Canada. This is something we're going to have to keep an eye on. The Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms is providing legal representation for the organizers. And they said in a statement that they would immediately file a court application seeking to overturn Trudeau's declaration of the Emergency Power Act. Now, they said that Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, Justin Trudeau's father, used the War Powers Act to deal with violence, kidnapping, and murder. Today, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is considering using the War Powers Act to deal with bouncy castles and, I can't read it, there's an ad in front of it. Sorry, when I saved the PDF, I didn't get that ad out of the way. Anyway, the peaceful protesters feed the homeless, shovel snow, pick up garbage, dance in the streets, play street hockey, and wave Canadian flags, sing the national anthem, set up bouncy castles for children, do not seriously endanger the lives, health, or safety of Canadians, nor are these peaceful activities of such proportions or nature as to exceed the capacity or authority of a province to deal with them. So, and the conservative leader, the minority leader in Canada, Candace Bergen, said that her party will be looking at what the Liberal government is proposing and evaluate the rationale and decide whether or not to support it. And it says, at first blush, we are very concerned with what we see, she said in a press conference yesterday. So this is the situation up in Canada. It is further dividing the country. It's going to be interesting to see how this works out. And I said, there's a mindset among people like Trudeau that absolutely cannot tolerate any sort of disagreement, any sort of resistance to their commands or their wishes. They cannot countenance any reduction in their power or authority. Any challenge to their power or authority must be met with force. This is the mind of a dictator. And this is what we are seeing. And it's scary. And we're not just seeing it in Canada. We've seen it among several American state governors, and we've certainly seen it among certain members of our federal government. So this mindset is frightening. We need to identify it. We need to get these people out of office. And tyrannies only end two ways. They end with ballots or they end with bullets. If possible, free elections can remove tyrants. If free elections are not possible, the only way to remove tyrants is by force. And that has happened in the past as well. So we must consider the times in which we live. These are interesting times. These are concerning times. Yes, we need to be concerned with Russia and Ukraine and China and Taiwan and other hotspots like that around the world. Those are the two big ones. But we also need to be looking at these formerly democratic countries that are rapidly becoming dictatorships. Australia is now a police state, out and out upright police state. And we've seen police state tactics in Canada. We saw, the shutting down of churches. The James Coates' church, is he in Edmonton? I think he's in Edmonton. But the government fenced off the church and wouldn't let anybody in there, the building. The church kept meeting in secret locations. You talk about those code phrases I read earlier. They were probably sending out code phrases like that, telling everybody where they were meeting this Sunday before. Excuse me, those restrictions were ended and the church was reopened. There is a Canadian pastor right now who is in jail in solitary confinement for opposing these police state tactics. I don't remember his name offhand. I don't have that in front of me. Folks, this should be concerning. And we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Canada. Pray for the Canadian people. Pray for the free world. The Western civilization and yes, Western countries have done bad things. I'm not saying they haven't. But by and large, Western civilization, by which I mean Christian civilization, has done more for the rest of the planet than anybody else. The Protestant work ethic led to the Industrial Revolution. The belief in personal autonomy and the imago Dei, that everybody is made in the image of God, led to human rights reforms. The end of slavery was driven by Christian ethics. The end of slavery in the West. Slavery still exists in the East. I mean, you can't say that, you know, we know China has slave labor. We know that slavery is still legal in many Arab countries. And in Africa, there's also, you know, slavery in fact, if not in name, in many places around the world. But in the West, we've moved heaven and earth to end slavery. And to give, you know, the belief in individual rights comes, that's a Christian belief. You don't have the people in China believing in individual rights, at least not the government. Obviously, Justin Trudeau does not believe in individual rights. And we've seen individual rights under assault in this entire last 2 years. We need to get back to ideas of freedom. We need to start to understand, you know, where freedom comes from. Now, freedom is not anarchy. There is the rule of law. There are, you know, and that's the thing, that God's word is so clear that there is right and wrong. And the right should be celebrated and the wrong should be punished. But there's also freedom and liberty. There are things that are neither right or wrong. That the government, it's wrong for the rulers to suppress the people's ability to do things that should be in their own personal purview. We need to get back to mind your own business. We need to get back to you mind your business, you let other people mind their business, and, you know, obey the law and do what you want. As long as you're obeying the law, you should be able to do what you want apart from the law. You know, that's just a clear tenet of Western civilization. Western civilization is crumbling, and it's crumbling rapidly. It's crumbling from within, and it is crumbling under pressure from without. Actually, it's crumbling from within so that it's not able to withstand the pressure from without. And I'm not without hope. God is sovereign. We could have a massive movement of God, but I see such weakness in the forces of good right now, and the good is in quotes. I see such weakness in the forces of good on this earth that conflict with the forces of evil seem to be inevitable, whether it's evil from within or evil from without. I mentioned, you know, last week, nobody picks a fight with the black belt. If you know somebody who's a master at a martial art and you're not, and most people aren't, you're not going to take a swing at him because you're not stupid, because you know you'd lose. So the way to have peace is to be prepared for war. Well, too many people think that the way to have peace is to cave in and try to appease the warmongers. to appease the tyrants. Didn't work for Neville Chamberlain. It's not going to work for us now. We should have learned that lesson, but I'm afraid we've forgotten it. All right, well, that's my thoughts today on the rise of tyranny. Tyranny must be stopped. Tyranny must be resisted. Do not give in to tyranny. The government is not God. Obey God and resist tyrants. Pray for Canada. Pray for the rest of the world. Do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.